Good afternoon, and welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean, right here at Republic Broadcasting Network. This hour, we shall give you great information for your very survival. I would recommend that you call neighbors and friends and say, listen in to RBN. Our guest this hour is Dr. A. True Ott, a great American, a great investigative journalist, and he's looking after your survival with all his might and intellect. Good afternoon, Dr. Ott.
Well, thank you for that very kind introduction, Barbara Jean. Let me just say that you're a great broadcaster, broadcast host.
Well, thank you very much. So we're both happy, but I'm sincere and I thank you. I know you are a sincere person. So the only thing here now left is that we, you and I, both do our very best on an urgent message. So call in, call your friends and neighbors, and ladies and gentlemen, we'll put out the number for you to jot down, 800-313-9443. Once again, 800-313-9443. And surely this information has to do with your survival. So go ahead, Dr. Ott, and you're aware there's a quick break here, but I'm just going to turn it to you because you're the one with the info.
Well, yes, it just seems like every day we find new pieces to the puzzle. And, you know, it's like I said last night on the Rents program, it really is a fill-in-the-blanks type of Sudoku puzzle, if you will. We're just trying to make sense of what evidence that we can bring together. Because, you know, whenever you see events unfold, you've got to just ask yourself, does this fit? And I say, does it fit as far as pure logic is concerned? In a nutshell, for the break, you know, the whole thing about this pandemic flu hype that was trumpeted from 2005 until the end of the Bush administration, just in my estimation, did not fit. Okay, the proclamations that we were heading for a major bird flu pandemic just didn't make sense from all the empirical data. You know, outbreaks of H5N1, sporadic as they may be, have been occurring since the days of the Vietnam War. I mean, that's part of these 1960s scenario and why they were a little bit afraid of going into the Cambodia and Vietnam and Laos area. I mean, that's just part of their life down there. And outbreaks in Indonesia and China, you know, and it's never crossed the gene clades to become pandemic and killing. It just didn't happen then. It very likely would never happen again, okay? So why all the hype, and more importantly, why is our government spending $6-plus billion preparing for something that just didn't make sense? So now we have our answers. We'll explore those now in the next hour. Barbara Jean, the answers are stunning. To me, they're set in stone. It's concrete. It's the Sudoku puzzle matrix, basically, in my mind, has been filled. Now it's just a matter of what do we do about it as Americans? Who do we, you know, what's our options? Do we bring criminal charges? Do we seek indictments? All of this will be explored in the next hour.
It is out before us, ladies and gentlemen. If you check the internet, you can go some places and you can find all kinds of coffins all spread out in a big field, a kind of a plastic coffin sleeve, so to speak. And the orders for body bags are just absolutely going through the roof. When we come back, we'll ask why.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Today's Flu Readiness Report is brought to you by Nutrients 21, makers of Ultra Immunity, the world's best natural immune supplement. Today we are discussing megadosing, a practice where one ingests a large amount of a vitamin or concentrated nutrient to achieve a specific result, also known as orthomolecular therapy, a term coined by Linus Pauling. This highly controversial practice is not recommended by mainstream medical authorities. However, a number of doctors and scientists have researched and established procedures that achieve wonderful results more often than not. In the case of pandemic flu, megadosing procedures for vitamin C and D should be considered. Vitamin C and D are safe in very large amounts. There is plenty of evidence they have a profound positive effect on your natural immunity. This flu readiness update has been brought to you by UltraImmunity.com. Ultra Immunity is a supplement you can safely use with mega dosing protocols. For full details on the survival supplement, visit UltraImmunity.com. That's UltraImmunity.com. UltraImmunity.com today.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
With the spirited music, turn on your thinking cap and listen well. As we return to this segment on today's information on the swine flu pandemic, analyzed and returned to you by good analyses of Dr. Truat, I'm going to take the liberty to read the first paragraph of, or so of his latest writing, August 1, 2009, Actual Origins. Just a reminder to set the stage. In March of 2009, the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control announced an outbreak of swine flu, Mexico and Southern California. Within a few months, the outbreak increased in scope, resulting in the World Health Organization issuing a level 6 pandemic alert, with many ramifications. I ask the encounters that I have, are you aware that we are at level 6? That is something that has all kinds of attributes that are ominous. Both the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control announced in April that the influenza virus responsible for the pandemic is a, quote, novel triple reassortment virus, end quote, that combines H1N1 swine virus, H5N1 avian virus, and human flu virus, H3N2. Press releases sent to the major media outlets of the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom further declared that such a triple virus had never been seen before and that it was, quote, N-O-V-E-L, novel, completely new, and that it had all of this composite. You don't see that much in the paper anymore. And then I'm going to let you, as I'm looking at the paper, you then tell the audience the next sentence that you put in your paper.
Well, I'm saying that, and I'm making this public, yes, indeed, that statement that it was novel is patently false. Okay, it's the other part of the statement that it's a triple reassortment and it's composed of three different virates, that's absolutely true. But the statement that it's novel and brand new, absolutely false. And I quote this from a 2008 edition of the EID journal. EID stands for Emerging Infectious Diseases. It's put out every year by the CDC itself, and it's basically a grouping of articles for people worldwide. Now, in that 2008 September issue, I couldn't believe it when I read that there was an outbreak of a, quote, triple reassortant virus that had never been seen before, and this happened back in 2005. And there was quite an investigation going on about how this happened. The New York State Health Department head actually was part of the investigative team and wrote the article for the CDC. Now, again, it didn't get published in the EID journal until 2008, 3 years after the effect. But let me just give the listeners a brief synopsis. In November of 2005, at the end of November, right around Thanksgiving, a young 17-year-old boy in Wisconsin received the seasonal flu vaccine. 3 weeks later, in December, he came down with a full-blown case of the flu. Well, he went to the clinic. They took a throat culture and sent it in and notified the CDC that it was a, quote, novel emergent strain of a recombination virus, what they were basically warning the world to watch out for, okay? So the CDC basically investigates. They send some team in to see, did it come from the herd of pigs? They found that he had 3 days earlier been assisting his family in butchering some pigs. They did the best they could to find out if the pig herd had been the source of this recombinant virus. It didn't show up in any of the pigs. The question then to me is, if it was in the pigs and the pigs were infected, and why was the 17-year-old boy that was just assisting in the actual slaughter the only one to get infected? I think it's a valid question. Obviously, it didn't come from the pigs. And then they looked, could it come from the chicken? The article goes on to state that the family had a ceremonial ritual involving the chicken, and the chicken was in the house, basically with the family, but they ruled that out as well. I'm fairly certain, because the virus was not chicken-based, it was turkey-based, okay? So there you have it. It's exactly the same gene clade, as far as I can get from the footnotes and the research study that was just said that came out this year in 2009. So there's a four-year slate of difference there. Okay, now why is that important, listeners? Listen up, because you see, simply this is not something that's caught the world unawares. This has been in the CDC files. And again, the report goes on to explain that the lad, the 17-year-old boy, was sick mildly, was just mildly ill for 3 to 4 days and recovered completely and was fully recovered. So the question then begs to be asked, just like it is now, how many people came down with this novel flu and, you know, it wasn't reported? This is a valid question. Not everybody that comes down with the flu gets their throat swabbed and has it analyzed to see what kind of a bug it is. The majority of people I submit that get sick with the flu, a lot of them don't even go to the doctor. They self-medicate themselves, stay home and take and rest and get better. They don't have a full analysis done of what's making them sick. So I think it's a safe assumption that if you rule out the origin of it coming from the swine herd, just as they have done with the San Diego children that came down with it, they had no contact whatsoever with swine, and you rule out the bird possibility, which has been done. Well, what other possibility is there? Well, you have to look at the vaccine, I would say. 3 weeks prior, he had a seasonal vaccine. Now, in 2004, if you remember and turn the pages back, it made headlines across the country that the country had a real shortage of seasonal flu vaccine in the year 2004. Why was this? Well, look behind the curtain, look deeper. You find that the primary supplier for seasonal flu vaccine, a company called Chiron, it's spelled C-H-I-R-O-N, Chiron in Emeryville, California, had a problem with their vaccine. A routine investigation, a routine sampling by the FDA found, oh heavens, it was contaminated. Now, most contamination is not in the amounts of thimerosal mercury or anything else in it. The most of the time, it's because there's a live virus strain found in it. Okay, that's what typically constitutes contamination and the recalling of the whole lot. The whole manufacturing lot was put out. That caused this. This panic among health departments, oh, we're really short on the flu this year. And you know what? It didn't matter, did it, Barbara Jean? Just as many people got sick, and it felt probably a little bit less in 2004. It was a really kind of a mild season. Isn't that just funny and coincidental, you know?
Kind of follows.
But the point being, the next year's 2005 lot, when, you know, they had bumper crops of it. You know, they had more than enough vaccine to make up. I'm just wondering if this contamination of 2004 wasn't this novel recombinant virus that somehow sneaked in to the vaccine. That's the only thing. Again, if you look at this like a Sudoku puzzle, I don't see any other option. You're being injected into your vein with some cells of viruses. Suppose a few of them, a small percentage, become, you know, really alive, which is really what shut down the 2004 batch of Chiron. Are you with me? Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
So then again, it just becomes the next obvious question should be, how many people that have currently been diagnosed with this virus, how many of these people have had seasonal flu vaccines this year? Because here's the other part of the smoking gun that's just stunning. In the CDC's own investigation, they took sampling of the virus from people infected. They went into their labs, into their ferrets, and you just don't put the virus out in their water or in the air of these ferret cages. No, they get the ferrets sick by vaccinating them. They inoculate them with the disease that makes the ferrets sick. And what they're testing is the rate of transmissibility to healthy ferrets as compared to typical H3N2 viruses. They know how fast the healthy ferrets will get sick by coming in contact with those that are infected. And unbelievably, this is what came out in the CDC's own PowerPoint presentation, which I have a copy of. The one slide is very, very, golly, you can't draw any other conclusions. It said, quote, the rate of transmissibility is near zero compared to the seasonal H3N2. In other words, you can't catch this from your neighbor that's sick like you would the normal H3N2.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, Zero Debt in 90 Days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt-free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you're facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's right, you keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 debt relief secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Welcome back to Born on the 4th of July. Dr. True Ott online today, bringing us up to a standard of understanding that is in front of us, ladies and gentlemen, all across this land. Level 6, declared by the World Health Organization. I should call that correctly, the United Nations World Health Organization. And in our country, we refer to the CDC. And we hear a lot of statements coming out from them. And in their own journal, their journal that has to do with disease, the EID Journal, Emerging Infectious Diseases, indicates that the novel reassortment triple virus was around before March 2009. And the CDC, who said it was so new and they'd never seen it before, in their own writings, knew of this. So put that in your head quickly, and so you know that maybe you're not always being told the truth. Back to you, Dr. Ott.
Well, yes, and like I said, the CDC and even the Institutes of Health, the government testing stations in a lot of different states and areas of the country have kept what they call swine test herds. You know, pigs are amazing animals. Genetically, they're very, very close to human beings. So they're kind of like an intermediary for infectious disease states. And it's like the proverbial canary in the coal mine. It's the early warning tip-off that something's happening, okay, as far as mutations of gene clades, et cetera, et cetera. So they keep a pretty good watch on it, it's a pretty good barometer of changes. Well, the article went on to say in the footnotes and the supporting documentation that there was never any change in the basic swine H1N1 structure in their test herds up until 1998, and then suddenly this novel new change just happens to appear suddenly. And what's amazing is, see, it didn't happen gradually. It just came, boom, in all of its glory right there, which is really strange, because usually if it starts to mutate, there'll be genetic signals leaking you to that, okay, giving you a heads up to that. But no, it appeared just in these rare testing herds as a fully blown virus, which again leads me to believe it was weaponized to begin with. It was placed in certain areas of the country, in Canada and throughout this country, somehow into the swine population. Now, I would just like to go back into Utah and the emergence of these confined animal feeding operations, these huge corporate swine farms, okay? Now, it's a fact that these pigs, from the moment they're dropped out of the sow's womb, they get a huge amount of drugs, from steroids to antibiotics to vaccinations, for just about everything. And look who supplies these vaccine needles to these swine farms. Follow the trail. Follow the trail. And you find, Novartis has their hand in it. Now, there's the appearance of this recombinant virus in these test herds in 1998, and then following up in studies done, guess what? They found this was not transmissible back to humans. The pigs basically just didn't go back into human beings. Didn't infect the humans from the pigs. This particular one didn't. So I submit they went back to the drawing board. See, this doesn't happen, folks. You got to understand, this doesn't happen by natural evolution. If it had, if it does, it would have shown up in these test herds. You've got to understand that. It happens by laboratory experimentation. When you understand that.
Well, didn't you note that there's some sort of an update from the World Health Organization where they work through the United Nations? And I think it was, as I recall, it was a date of April 30th, 2009. And they were actually saying, if I recall what I read, that the swine influenza viruses do not affect humans. They said
that's
right, in their own words.
Yeah. So here we find that it doesn't infect humans, so it didn't really come from the swine. It didn't come from the birds, because it's not a pure H5N1. It's a mutation that didn't appear in their test flocks either, of the turkeys. Barbara Jean, it's like a Sudoku puzzle. How does, what fits in those blanks?
People in a lab coat.
Yeah. Can you spell vaccines? That's the only thing that fits. It's the only thing that fits, folks. So here you have, as we've said in multiple shows, we have Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger and his team of geneticists and microbiologists at the Fort Detrick Institute manufacturing this recombinant virus. We know that is factual.
Go yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Put that name, Taubenberger, in a Google search. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The new World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out. What then? Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot,
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org today.
Restore the Republic, the social network for the modern revolutionary. Activating the silent masses into action. At RestoreTheRepublic.net, we're seizing power from the globalist world controllers and handing it back to the people. RestoreTheRepublic.net, where patriots rally on the objective. The Liberty Bell tolls once again for a movement on the rise. Make RestoreTheRepublic.net your place to unify and activate the revolution.
Had about enough of the bold-faced lies and propaganda, have you?
Republic Magazine exposes the mainstream media garbage for what it is. Grab a stack and take America back. Use Republic Magazine to wake the people and crush the corporate-controlled propaganda machines. Page after glossy page of factual information to fuel the second American revolution. Get it all and more at RepublicMagazine.com.
Returning to Born on the 4th of July, once again, I will read an emphatic paragraph from this latest paper of Dr. Ott, if he so allows me to do so. Here I go. It is a fact that Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger began working in the mid-90s on reverse engineering the deadly 1918 virus that killed untold millions of people. If you should do a Google search, death 1918 killed more people than the war, the World War One, or the Great War. They haven't got exact figures, somewhere between 20 to 40 million people worldwide. It was called Spanish flu or La Grippe. It was a global disaster. And in reading a little bit about it, I was very struck by how it talked about the soil being infected and so septic that, you know, people just didn't have a chance. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, that Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger began working in the mid-90s on reverse engineering of the deadly 1918 virus. It is a fact that he assembled his team at the U.S. Army Institute of Pathology in 1996, began officially to work on the project in 1997, and it is also a fact In 1997, Pabenberger published a paper in the journal, quote, Science, end quote, identifying that the 1918 killer virus was, quote, triple reassortment novel, end quote, virus containing genetic segments of human, swine, and avian origin. How can that be allowed, Dr. Ott?
Well, I'm sure there were those that were overseeing the project that started to have questions. Dr. Don Wiley, head microbiologist there at Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and a professor on staff at Harvard Medical School, I'm very, very confident he was watching this very closely and began to raise significant questions concerning this and who was involved in 1991. And Dr. Wiley went on to have a fatal accident. There's no doubt in my mind it was foul play. His body was found floating in a river 300 miles from where his rental car was found in the southern states, okay? There's more than just Dr. Wiley. It seems like everybody that has a negative opinion on this microbiological activity at Fort Detrick had some accidents going on. It began in 1994 with a reporter. Well, this gentleman was an accountant, CPA, a controller at the Howard Hughes Institute, and he was going public with a story that funding from DARPA, D-A-R-P-A, was being funneled into CIA, Black Ops, and into the Mossad budgets, and he was going to blow the whistle on that. Him and his wife were brutally murdered the evening before they were to release that information. So there's another little clue as to what's been going on. That'll be about the same time that Taubenberger's team was being formed. Just an amazing little coincidence. The more you dig, the more you find out that this rash of microbiologists, both on in America and in places like England and even Israel itself, had some ties to the Taubenberger team. So, you know, the stakes are very high here. This is, again, a global plan of immense proportions. It's coming to fruition now as we speak. Now, here's what we do know. Let's go back to absolute facts, Barbara Jean. Anybody can verify these, and then we're going to be hitting them hard now. I think this bird flu that was sent out, I think it's a big flop. I mean, this swine flu, swine bird flu. It's not nearly as deadly as they thought it was. Okay? I mean, can we all come to that agreement? They estimate, I say they, the CDC, it tells us about 1.2 million people have been infected. The lightest death count is about 330. You know, we lose that many people in a weekend on the nation's highways, Barbara Jean. You know, it's a serious thing. We lose even one person to a weaponized virus of this sort. But it's far short of the tens of thousands that they were projecting. And when this was first announced in March, if you remember correctly, when we first talked about it, I was, oh, my heavens, they've released it. Look for thousands of deaths. If it approaches even a fraction of the lethality, you know, the morbidity of the original one, 1918, we were in for a rough, rough summer. But it's not happened, has it?
Dr. Ott, we have a caller. Let's have him come in for just a minute.
Yes.
The name of this caller is Just Say No from Canada. Welcome, Just Say No from Canada. Are you with us?
Yeah, I am. I was just wondering if you are aware of the PCV2 vaccine that's given to pigs shortly after birth. That may be the way it's being transmitted. It's the only used infection.
Thank you for bringing that up, but I wasn't going to go there. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, you know, it's been in play. I think they started in 2005. I'm sure there were testing before, but a mass testing started in 2005. With that, it basically just makes the pigs live long enough to reach market weight, because they should have died. Like, you know, I grew up on a farm. Baby pigs die. And, you know, this is a vaccine to stop them from dying. So
Yes. They
should have died. So they're reaching market weight, and they have hepatitis-like skin lesions. And also their organs are damaged.
Yes.
So that's what we're eating. And
the
also,
BCV,
I just wanted...
The BCV is a mishmash of viruses.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also want to mention that pig farm in Alberta, the member of the Canadian Food Inspection Agency did, in fact, get swine flu from the pigs. It's documented.
Yeah. Well, now we're talking about
mainstream
swine
Indian.
Flu. It can transfer back and forth. That's the H1N1.
Yeah, but
what
but
I want to be very clear on is we're talking about the recombinant triple virus. That does not.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that can be a little confusing when people talk swine flu. The straight H1N1, yeah, you can catch that. That goes back and forth all the time.
Right.
But the reports that the CDC issued said that it's this novel thing that they've discovered in 2005. It didn't. Once it was in the pigs, it didn't transfer to humans.
Back to you, Canada.
Thank you. Sorry.
Are you getting the push and the press as we feel here for schools and vaccinations and everything being set up in Canada for a mass vaccination?
According to our federal and provincial health units, they are not making this mandatory. They will not. No, so, and I believe the WHO can't, so I don't, there's going to, like, 62% of Canadians want it, if you can believe that, but
yeah.
Hopefully people will get smart by the time fall rolls around, but the media does play a big part, but also I believe the CTV was a little bit more, you know, just be a little more cautious about the vaccine, because we really don't know why, you know, the results of the testing yet, so, which is good.
Yeah, very, very good comments. You know, the Monsanto group, look at who they're really tied to and who their stockholders are, and you see a lot of Novartis influence there.
Yeah, Inovac is the one in Canada.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, there's so much weird things going on in the animal husbandry division, or there's just between our irradiated food and our genetically modified crops. My heavens, they just got to quit playing God and just start getting back to the basics.
Yeah, I had a farmer tell me that this might be the last year he'll be able to get organic canola seed.
Right.
There will be no more available. So by next year.
Well, we need to talk a little bit, I think, about the second part of that paper, the last part about symbolism. I gave this out to some professional people, but I really didn't think they would be excited about the symbolism part. But many of them surprised me. They were. The Food and Agricultural FAO division of the UN really want to implement this codex and basically control the food supply in the hands of a corporate few. I mean, really, that's their agenda. And the symbolism of their logo is quite amazing. It has a picture of a piece of grain, a blooming grain seed, and then the letters FAO, and underneath it, they have the Latin letters Fiat Panis. Fiat Panis, P-A-N-I-S.
Okay, that's F-I-A-T and then the capital P-A-N-I-S, right? Okay.
That's right. Wow, you know, to look at that, just give it a cursory glance, it looks pretty benign, right? And the The UN says that just means let there be bread. It's a Latin meaning saying let there be bread. But dig a little deeper, folks. Look into your dictionary online, any dictionary, and look at the word up. Type in fiat. You see it's an official decree of authority. Okay, we hear about fiat currency all the time. But what does it really mean? Is it phony currency? No. Fiat just means this currency, this paper money, is valuable only because it has the authority of government behind it as a decree of authority. Panis is the definition. It's referred to in the Rig Veda, the Hindu holy book. It's a pantheon of demons. A pantheon of demons that want to control the food. In the lexicon of the Hindu, this Panis group of demons are miserly. They control the food supplies of humans. And so what are you getting with this? I did a research deal just over the weekend, and I was just shocked that the trail led me to the writing of Albert Pike, the head of basically worldwide Freemasonry, who wrote the authoritative books. And Albert Pike wrote a book on the Hindu slash Aryan gods of antiquity. And I just about fell off my chair when he said that the great horned owl is the conduit of the Panis, the demon horde. And look on the $1 bill, Barbara Jean, you see in the left-hand corner of the right-hand corner, the little shield that's there. Look closely with the magnifying glass and you see an owl perched there. The Bohemian Grove elite, they meet in the effigy of the great stone owl to receive their wisdom and guidance. This, I don't know if I believe in demons, but you know what? This is bizarre.
Well, it's interesting that we have these organizations, and you're telling us then that their logo is a symbol, and can you go specifically, is it InfoSan, or is it an organization of the world, health organization, or food and agriculture? Could you clarify that a little bit?
Yeah, InfoSan is a part of the World Health Organization. That's a whole other nasty little subset. But the FAO is the United Nations organization that seeks to unify and control and standardize food across the planet. They're doing it as on the pretense we have to make everything uniform and safe. Okay.
And that organization is the FAO, is that correct?
That's right, Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN.
Okay, and the FAO is the organization that has this logo. Where would someone find the logo that you have described?
Just Google it up. Just put Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, FAO. You'll see their website and their logo is right there. It's their seal. Fiat Panis is
their
logo.
Well, I think that there were some demons who took all the money from September until now, don't you? Because
well, sure.
The demons that took the money gave it to other demons that they won't name, right?
Well, yeah, you got that. So the money went somewhere, and when it's pulled out of the economy, you have an economic recession and or depression created.
I have a question. Is the caller from Canada still with us? I guess she's dropped off.
Yes,
hello?
I am.
Oh, you're still with us. Okay, I'd like your input on this little discussion about the description of a art-crafted logo.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, what's going to happen is the regulations is not what's going to stop this from happening. It's consumer demand that's going to drive this. You know, I understand the corruption with FAO and all the FDA and the CDC, but, you know, it's just symbols, you know. I don't know what else to say. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We appreciate your joining with us, Dr. Ott.
Thank you.
To us, I would just like to comment, to us, to the general public, she's right. It's just symbols. But unfortunately, to these other people, it's not. It's what drives them. There's a lot of of hidden esoteric meaning as to what is their motivation. And that's why I went there, okay? To us, it doesn't mean anything, and it shouldn't. But trust me, to these Illuminati elite, it means a lot.
Well,
it helps to uncover their mindset. Because, you know, I'm trying to figure out, again, like a big Sudoku puzzle, what is their agenda? Why are they continuing to promote this worldwide vaccination campaign when they know this is a fizzled thing? Will the second and third waves come back more virulent than the first? That's a possibility. But flip a coin, Barbara Jean. It could just come back just as a rhinovirus with nothing to it. That's just as much a possibility as the other side.
Okay, but when they get the vaccines all put together without proper testing, and could it be that some segments of the population would get different vaccine than another? And
yeah.
Who's going to know what's in it? We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tom DeWeese, inviting you to join us for the 10th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference in Oklahoma City, August 13th to 15th. Our keynote speaker is G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. You will also meet Chuck Baldwin, Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt, a host of state legislators hot on the heels of the fight to preserve state sovereignty. And you will learn all the details behind the coming international ID and how the MEAC report fits in. Property rights, privacy rights, education, and the assault on natural health care, all will be discussed at Freedom 21. And John Stadmiller of RBN will be helping me co-host the event. You can register for the full conference or for just a day. We also offer a very special student rate. For more information, go to www.freedom21.org or call my office at 540-341-8915. The leaders in the fight to preserve our freedom are gathering in Oklahoma City this summer. I hope you'll join us at the Freedom 21 National Conference.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Final edition of 1918, published 12/28/1918, a year in which developed a most fatal infectious disease. Medical science devolved 4.5 years to putting men on the firing line, and now it must turn their whole might to combating the greatest enemy of all, infectious disease. Ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with the greatest enemy of all being pushed upon us with vaccines. Dr. Ott, please.
Well, yes, and let's reevaluate what really happened back in 1918. I went over, went on this in great detail last night on the Wren Show. I just advise the listeners to go pull those, pull that archive. It should be up today. You can get the full story. But in a nutshell, the deaths that occurred in 1918 were very, very sudden. They were indicative of what's called a cytokine storm, which is basically where the immune system and the mucous membranes swell until they eventually rupture and begin to hemorrhage. And the deaths occurred from people bleeding into their nose, their mouth, and into their lungs. They aspirated and choked on the body fluids, basically, is how death occurred. It was very rapid and quick. It wasn't indicative of a viral infection at all, Barbara Jean. So we kind of lead us to believe then, was there a vaccine involved back then? Well, yes, indeed, the typhus fever vaccine was taking the world by storm thanks to John D. Rockefeller's efforts. It was going to save millions and millions of lives. The typhus fever was ravaging Europe and the Baltic states. It always had been. And so here was a plan through a vaccine needle to stop it short. Well, it appears very, there's a lot of evidence to suggest, let me say this, that it was vaccine-induced disease that caused that 1918 death toll. Were there viruses involved? Yeah, just like there are today. You go back and exhume a body, you probably find they had a recombinant virus there, but you know, like it is today, people aren't dying from bloody discharge in their lungs. It had to be a cytokine storm caused by an overactive immune system, which brings us to one word. It's called an adjuvant. Adjuvant. A-D-J-U-V-A-N-T. Adjuvant. Folks, this vaccine is going to have squalene-based adjuvants in it. Make no mistake. This first test run they're going to put out to show that it's safe, the CDC is admitting there's not going to be adjuvant in this one, and there's not going to be any live virus in this one. It's going to be basically a seasonal flu shot. No problem. Okay, see, it's safe. But this next bunch of series of shots, 160 million, folks, you can't make that many millions of batches without squalene. You can't make it without some live viruses. That's in the literature. It's well known.
What about a person that is lined up to get the vaccination and they ask what is in it? Will we be told? And would we be told the truth? Who is the overseer of all of this construction or creation of this vaccine? Who would be someone to trust?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. You know, the FDA requires all of our food, our Cheeto bags, you know, to have a full list of ingredients. Why don't we know what's going in this vaccine?
We'll do this again, Dr. Ott. Thank you so much for informing the nation and beyond.
Thank
Stay well.
Barbara Jean.
Thank you.
With recent internet